could I just like to add one small thought? And, you know, we use this, and Scripture uses the term in the midst. And, you know, I'm sure that everybody understands that that means in the middle. And I like the thought in the middle or in the center, because I think many people, particularly young people today, can relate to what exactly that means. In the middle. When you go back through the Old Testament, you see that God always occupied the place, the center place. Even in Revelation, it's in the center place. But I just want to say the thought of being in the middle really helps, I think helps us today the way we think. In the midst sounds is correct, but it's a word that we don't use. We don't go about saying that table is in the midst of the room, middle of the room. We typically say it's in the center of the room. I think the thought of conveying it, he's in the center. Center is a thought that many of us can relate to.
I was just thinking of the very same thing. I just jotted them down. In Luke chapter 2, his parents were looking for him, his mother and his stepfather, as it were, Joseph. And they found the Lord Jesus in the midst of the doctors and lawyers, listening, asking questions. And I like to think the Lord Jesus is in the center of teaching. On the cross, the Lord Jesus, there were three crosses standing side by side. And there was one here and one here. The Lord Jesus was in the center cross. And you know what's interesting? They came and they examined the crosses and the men that were on the crosses, rather. And they found that this man was dead. They passed by the Lord Jesus. And they found that this man was dead. And then they drew their attention upon the Lord Jesus, last of all. And they put the spear up into his side. He was in the midst. He was in the center place on the cross. And then in John chapter 20, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the first day of the week, he is in resurrection. He's in the first place. He's in the place of the centrality amidst the gathered saints in the upper room. The doors were locked. Jesus came. And where did he stand? Not in the side, not in the back, not in the front even. In the midst, in the center. So he's in the midst of resurrection. And then, of course, in Matthew 18, verse 20, the Lord Jesus Christ is in the midst of the assembly. Singular, as it were. But then you get to Revelation chapter 2 and 3, in the seven churches, the seven assemblies in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, he's in the midst of the companies of believers. And of course, maybe much could be said about that, but he's in the midst of the saints, in the midst of the various companies of believers as well. And then you get to Revelation chapter 5, he's in the midst of the elders, of the 420 elders in heaven, and he takes the center place. I think, Brother Bob, there are seven places that are prominent. I have six here. There's a seventh one, but there are seven places. And the word is en meso. He's in the center place, the place of prominence, the Lord Jesus Christ. And no man should ever take the place that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Washington 118 sums all those up, doesn't it? It says, he is the head of the body, the assembly. He was the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence.
Even as a 12-year-old boy, he was in the midst of the doctors and teachers when he went to the synagogue to observe the Passover. So Jesus in the midst as a learner. He had to learn as a man, even though he's God over all. So there he is, even as a 12-year-old lad. He was in the center. There he was. And answering and asking questions. He's always in the middle. He's always in the middle, in the center.
Well, you might say that that thought of him being the center of attraction started from the day of creation. Mm-hmm. Because of the tree of life, it starts from there. Mm-hmm. It's in the midst of the garden. Mm-hmm. It's not about measurement. It's not we're going to measure where he is in the midst. It's really what we have to set it, that he is the center of attraction. Mm-hmm. He is the center of attraction. But we just don't want to miss the other part, that we gather to his blessed name, the Lord. We spoke about authority and right. But there's still the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think if I understand what's the Spirit highlighting under Jesus, it might help me understand and appreciate more the simple way we gather. So if it's the Lord, his rights, in Jesus it displays before me his blessed manhood and how a man ought to behave before God. And one aspect of the gathering is how you ought to behave in the house of God. And if I need to understand and learn how I ought to behave in the house of God, there's no greater example than looking at the Lord Jesus. We spoke of him being in the temple, in the midst, asking. You know, there's nothing greater than being, especially young people, you know, sometimes say, well, these meetings are not for me. This is for the older brethren, you know, these deep things. I'm just with that. I mean, sometimes we minimize the mind of the young people. They have great brains and we make them look like nothing. It is not true. But you know what? It is good to be in the presence. It's good to be in the company of the gathered saints and ask questions and learn. But the Lord Jesus, what this meant, that he behaved. Because assembly is not only when we go together and gather. Assembly is a way of life as well. It's a way of life. But so the Lord speaks of authority. Jesus speaks of behavior. So in that place of gathering, there need to be a kind of behavior that will mark the saints. I cannot go there and behave any way I want. It's an upper room furnished. It's already furnished, and we have to behave according to the furniture that's already set. But also there is the Christ, there is the Christos. And the Christ, you might say, is really doing the service of God. So there's rights, there is the manhood of Christ, where I ought to behave, but also there is the service of God in that place of gathering, where I will be a Christian like Christ, the one who glorified God and did his service here on earth.
Can I ask a question? I've been asked this, and I don't have the best answer, so I have to ask, and hopefully my brother can give me an answer. The word where, two or three are gathered. It's not when, as if to say whenever two Christians or three Christians come together, the Lord is automatically in their midst. The word used by the Holy Spirit is where. So I'm under the impression that the place is emphasized. And I've heard that connected with the Old Testament when the Lord says the place where I, you know, cause my name to dwell. Are those related? Because I guess the question I'm always asked is, so is it any time Christians come together for any reason? If I go to my friend's house and my friend's a Christian, I'm married to a Christian, we live in the same house, does that automatically make it the assembly in our house because there's two Christians living there? What is it that makes a place, you know, a where two or three are gathered unto my name, a place where his name is? I've never really heard a good answer that explains that.
Where is the divine place, wherever it may be? You meet in a meeting hall in Shelton, right?
Right.
Yeah, in Roanoke, they meet in a rented building. Other places where we've been, they meet in a home. But that's where the Lord has placed his name. Mark and I just couldn't break bread at home because the Lord didn't place his name in our home. And in breaking bread, it's not individual, it's collective. It's a collective act of worship. Not individual. So where is the divine place? Two or three is the divine number. Our gathered, divine separation. Under my name is the divine name.
Go ahead,
brother has a question. Well, I also heard earlier that it said, somebody said, you know, we have to meet on the grounds for representation of the universal assembly. And collectively means more than one. So if you live in a house where there's two, isn't that collectively? And as long as you are representing the universal assembly, then you can truly gather with Christ as the focus. You know, if you're exhorted to gather that way, you know, we all had to have an initial person that said, okay, let's start the brethren.